this is Darren Blake, and it's time for our annual, well, what used to be an annual NaNoWriMo discussion. Right here in a new unscripted format. Yay! Okay. So, in 1999, this guy in the Bay Area named Chris Spady wondered what it would be like to write a novel. So, you know, writing a novel is hard work. And he decided to further increase the difficulty by deciding to do it in only a month. Now, he didn't want to do this thing all by himself, because it's a very daunting task, and who wants to do something daunting all by yourself? So he invited 20 of his closest friends along for the ride. Now it's 2013, and the annual journey of novelist... the annual journey to novelisthood is far from over. This year they're expecting about half a million writers, kids, teens, and adults. The rules of the game are simple. Start writing on November 1st, and by November 30th, you have a novel of at least 50,000 words. So buckle up, kids. It's National Novel Writing Month. I want you to call in to voice your opinion on this topic, 724-444-7444, call ID 35274, or if you're an after-the-fact listener via download, call our voicemail line at 412... I don't remember the numbers. It has been that long. But the letters are I'm so fab. Before the show, I asked for volunteers to be unmuted, as is my previous habit. By the way, I used to do a podcast. Hi, I'm Flick. I did get one volunteer. His name is Mr. Wendigo. Hello, Mr. Wendigo. I've missed you so much.
And I have missed you.
Well, recalibrate the sights on your gun. Next time you won't miss. Jeez. So, for the people listening, I have to apologize. I'm using different software to do the recording, so I'm not going to have two separate tracks. So you might hear clicking and typing and all kinds of other fun stuff while Mr. Wendigo is talking. Or even
what?
While I'm talking, because... yeah.
No, we got rid of that fish tank.
No. The sounds will be on my end, because what I used to do is I would click through windows trying to find links or whatever while the other people were talking, or sometimes I would, you know, type in the chat room while other people were talking, and it will be not possible to just, what is words I'm looking for here? Silence my side of the noise, because... everything is on one track for this particular version of local recording.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know.
So I just put a link in the chat room. That link is NaNoWriMo.org. It's the homepage of National Novel Writing Month. You know, this is not the first time we've talked about this topic in a podcast setting. I think we should all be old pros by now. Get it? Pros? Writing? Pros? Yes, that's me, the bad punster. Mr. Wendigo, what is National Novel Writing Month?
National Novel Writing Month is 30 days of pain. Sweet, delicious, brain-racking, spasm-inducing pain in which you, the participant, cry a lot.
That's true.
Technical example. It's the name says it all. It's, if it doesn't work, it does. It's fun. You'll make friends. You'll lose friends. You'll lose sanity. Good. It's healthy. So, experience.
Some of us didn't have sanity in the first place, so it's okay.
Well, you have to have a little tiny bit, and then you can use it. It's very fun.
See, I don't have it, so I don't know what I'm missing, I guess.
Well, we all have a little bit. This is George.
But you are correct. It is 30 days, 50,000 words. It's really that simple. And it's really that hard. If you do the math, it breaks down to about 1,667 words a day. If you want to give yourself a cushion, you might want to shoot for 2,000 words a day starting at the beginning. That way, if you end up missing a day or three somewhere in there, you don't feel terribly bad. Or if you want to be crazy like Wendigo was a few years back and lock yourself in a room on weekends and write, you know, 10 to 15,000 words each weekend... You can give yourself carpal tunnel. Do your novel that way.
Yeah, I don't recommend that, actually. It's it works, but it's not very good for you.
A little bit of background on me and my NaNoWriMo history. This is my 9th year participating. I started in 2004. I skipped 2008, which is why this is only my 9th instead of my 10th. I am an 8-time winner so far, going for my 9th win. I have written or begun 10 novels. I finished 6 of them. 2 of the years that I've done this, I ended up writing 2 novels those years. That's why there's 10 instead of only 8. And last year, I moved to Long Beach, California. So I am now part of the Long Beach and Torrance region this year. I'm no longer an Austin Penguin. Sad panda. But I am now a Long Beach absolutely nothing. We don't have a mascot. Although this year they're talking about trying to decide on a mascot. I think they're crazy. Although they are kind of throwing around Penguin, and I'm kind of hoping the Penguin catches on because, you know, then I'll be a Penguin again. And you, Mr. Wendigo.
Oh, yeah. I was going to suggest for a mascot the Oarfish, because I think you guys have one washed up not too far away, maybe.
We actually have an aquarium, which is why someone recommended Penguin. The Penguin exhibit became like this really huge deal
in
the aquarium. I don't know.
Well.
So, how about you, Mr. Wendigo? What's your history with National Novel Writing Month?
Oh, dear. I think I'm going to see if we can find the movie, maybe. Yeah, I seem to recall 2003 was started. My wife led me kindly. I think I've won, I think, 3, maybe 4 times. At least 3, possibly 4. I didn't do it last year. I'm not sure about the year before. I think I started the year before and then figured out for like 2 days and said, ah, forget it. But, yeah, it slows a lot. The times I've tried to do it, like 2,000 words a day or 1,667 words a day, I ended up failing for whatever reason. Something happened, I get distracted. Someone gave us some keys or, a new 45 to one day and I get loose focus. Weekends, the ones where I lock myself up for, 8 to 10 hours a day on a weekend and pump out 3 to 5, maybe 6,000 words a day. It goes as near as I want. Maybe go pretty. So we'll see what happens this year. I'm not sure what kind of topic I'll be using, but I'm sure it's going to hurt. Yay!
Yay for pain. I have no idea why I said that.
Pain is happy.
So, here's a question that people keep asking each other on the forums, and so I figure I'll just throw it out there for you. Why do you nano, even though nano is not a verb?
Me personally, I don't know, actually. I think what happens, I'll just blame my wife. She's like, oh, this sounds really cool, we should do it. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds like a great idea. And we started it and got so close the first year, and then in the second year we tried again, maybe next year, and then the third or the fourth year, finally one more, like, yeah, it's really awesome. And we're in creative writing groups and stuff like that. So it's kind of, was our thing. Yeah, it's really, really nice to have someone, like, if you're living with someone who's also doing it, because there's a lot more understanding there when things don't get done. When dishes pile up, when the laundry hamper gets to be the size of the room, when the dog is fending for itself, there's a lot more compassion, a lot more empathy involved. And that's why I'm coming back this year. This really is a lot. It's currently away from me. Probably going to hit me. I'm going to die. Oh. Okay.
Yeah, I still got you on my buddy list. And I've noticed that the people that, of course, this is also just a theory, the people that have officially signed up for the year actually have the count bar of 0, and then the people that haven't, that are on my buddy list, like Terry and Samantha, they don't, there isn't a count bar even with 0. And that makes me sad, Panda. I'm hoping that their bar will show up at some point. And then their bar will start filling up starting November 1st. That would make me less sad, Panda.
Don't be sad, Panda.
I don't want to be sad,
if you
Panda.
Can hear this, parents and out there, if you can hear this, log in. You set the counter. It'll be fine.
But the answer to the question, why do you nano, for me, is simply that it's fun. When I was in Austin, it was the people. The people were incredible. The first year that I did this, I threw myself into the whole social aspect of it feet first, and I actually made a very good friend through NaNoWriMo that I'm still in semi-regular contact with today, even though she has now flaked on me twice, claiming that she was going to call me on a weekend and hasn't. But you can make incredible friends doing NaNoWriMo, and if you just let yourself be awash in it, it'll be... It could be one of the most incredible experiences of your life. And when I was all burnt out, because I became a municipal liaison for 2 years, well, assistant municipal liaison, and I kind of got burnt out on that. I'm a follower. I'm definitely a follower. I am not a planner. I am not a leader of any kind. And so I kind of got burnt out on it. So in 2008, when I took my break, I really, really missed it. And now that I haven't committed myself to having to, you know, plan stuff and be responsible, I rediscovered the fun in it. And last year was hard, though, because I was in a new place. I didn't know anybody. Almost didn't make the 50,000. And this year, I still don't really know anybody, but that's okay. I'm going to have fun. And that's the point of NaNoWriMo for me, is the having fun part. Now, here's a fun fact about NaNoWriMo. Every year, they're in danger of not being here the following year. That is because National Novel Writing Month is a nonprofit organization. As such, they rely on grants and donations and other monetary supports from outside individual peoples to continue. Now, if you are a NaNoWriMo participant and you get anything at all out of the NaNoWriMo experience, I encourage you, if you can afford to, donate $10, $20, you know, as much as you can, directly at NaNoWriMo.org. If you are not going to be a NaNoWriMo participant and you believe in the cause of promoting literacy through writing, or you just enjoy having crazy people in your area who enjoy writing at a madcap pace. Sorry. I'm laughing at the chat. Samantha's in the chat room, and she's not 100% sure she's going to do NaNoWriMo this year. And Wendigo, of course, is making her succumb to peer pressure, spelled P-I-E-R. Yes, a fishing pier. You want to do this. So Ginevra gets in on it and says, so if all my friends jump off a pier, Wendigo says, then the fish will be well fed.
Think about the fish, people. Come on. They're going to go on with you. You got to do this.
Ah, I love you, Mr. Wendigo. So the point is, if you have people in your life who are writers, people who participate in National Novel Writing Month, consider sponsoring their novel. For example, today I just created a sponsorship at stayclassy.com. Sorry, stayclassy.org. If you go to stayclassy.org/flickguy... Yes, I can talk. Stayclassy.org/flickguy. You can sponsor my novel. I am not holding my breath on that, though, because I don't actually know a lot of people. And those that I actually do know are either already doing National Novel Writing Month themselves, and again, I encourage those people to donate directly, or absolutely have no idea what National Novel Writing Month is. Even my family, I've told my sister about NaNoWriMo, I can't tell you how many times, and every November comes up and she's like, you're doing what? Yeah. So I'll be tossing my Stay Classy URL out there a little bit to see if I can get my friends and my family to sponsor my novel as opposed to simple blank stares, because they do that a lot. Holy falafel.
Great hummus.
Additionally, you can go to goodsearch.com and put National Novel Writing Month in the... Actually, I don't know where they're doing it these days. They kind of make you do an account now, which I have one. Crap. I'm getting all kinds of sidetracked on myself here. I'm sorry. Give me a break. It's been 2 freaking years.
I know.
Hi, Chris. Long time no yammer. Okay. One more link in the chat room. And that is actually a subpage of NaNoWriMo.org. It is their page titled More Ways to Give. It used to be called Donating When You're Broke. But this is actually a way to donate whether you're broke or not broke. It's just more ways to give. The novel sponsorship is on that page. Good Search is on that page, as well as Good Games. Good Search actually has a bunch of different things going on now. And they've got... you play 3 games and your organization earns a penny. You can actually watch TV ads and your organization earns 1 to 7 pennies, depending on how much they got out of the company. It's really good stuff. Anyway, that's NaNoWriMo.org/more-ways-to-give. Mr. Wendigo!
Yeah.
Since you're back this year, what you writing?
I honestly have no idea. My usual formula is take whatever thing I've been involved in and twist it to involve something with tentacles, or demonic crap, and schlock it together, which could be curious, just because I'm not involved in the whole quitting smoking thing with the electronic cigarettes and just that. Who knows? We'll see where it goes. I'm sure people think I'm a guy. As always, it's very healthy.
So, no political parodies turned werewolf?
Oh, it's not an election year, so I can't.
Well, that's true. Darn, I should have had one of these last year.
Yeah, if it's an election year, you can expect to have some good mockery. I didn't do it last year, so I don't even know what I would have done with the Romulan. But, yeah, it would have been cute, I'm sure. You know. Or, I don't know. Like, I'm a drone strike happy president, which drone strikes everybody. You know, the team of, young Republican left to save the world or something. Let that Ron Paul, who was going on, he's gone out as a cyborg and a drag queen. Yeah, that's gonna happen totally. RuPaul or Ron Paul, which one is it? We've never seen them together. Think about it.
Actually, I know this joke has already been done before, but I vote you write something about Pope RuPaul II.
Pope RuPaul II. That would be awesome. Ah! I'll have to write that one down.
Sorry. As for me, I am writing a sequel to my 2009 novel, The Savarta. Not so much a sequel as going to actually make them do something this year. Man, that was a really long novel for absolutely nothing happening. And it wasn't even really what they call the kitchen talk syndrome, where they sit in the kitchen and talk about their situation ad nauseum. There wasn't anything to talk about. I have no idea how that novel went 90,000 words, because I'm serious, nothing happened. So I'm going to make them do something this time. I don't know what yet.
It can happen.
Ah, Ginevra's got a good idea. I can make them change a tire. Too bad they're all 12 and don't drive. I know, Chris can drive the van for them.
There you go. He has power. I have seen it. Car has power window.
I can't do that, though. I've already got a character in the book named Chris. Dag nabbit. Oh, man. This makes me wish I had my old setup, because I've got my Rachel file in my head going, that's not appropriate! And if you're not in the chat room, I have to apologize for making such a reference, because I'm not editing this at all.
It's not appropriate.
That's true, Mr. Wendigo. That's not appropriate. Want to see my tire iron indeed.
Who wrote that? I have no idea.
Mind out of the gutter, Flick. Mind out of the gutter. Okay, I see someone else on the phone that has not actually requested to talk, but I'm going to ask anyway. Miss Samantha, did you want to be part of this conversation? Or are you simply on the phone to eliminate the lag? Ooh, she says sure. So I'm going to bring in Miss Samantha. Hello, Miss Samantha.
Hello, Flick.
So what's this I read that you're not sure you're going to do NaNoWriMo this year?
I'm not sure if I'm going to have time because I'm taking some classes through Coursera, and I'm still doing physical therapy with Cash. And then there's still my normal stuff I have to do. So I'm not sure if there's going to be time to write that much.
You know what people have told me and what I actually kind of discovered last year is true? The busier you are, the more likely you are to actually complete NaNoWriMo.
I have a week to decide.
Yes.
So I will decide. I won't be participating in any of the stuff they do in my region, but they don't do a lot anyway, so it's not that big of a deal.
And that actually leads me into the next segment. Regional stuff. The region where I'm living now isn't really all that active. I mean, they do have weekly write-ins, but like in Austin, there was something on the calendar pretty much every day. I think the only day that there's not something on the calendar is Thanksgiving Day. And here there's 2 to 4 things each week, which is not bad. But the regional forums are pretty much dead most of the time. And I really miss Austin for NaNoWriMo. I don't miss Austin for the weather, but I miss Austin for NaNoWriMo. So, Samantha's already answered this question. Mr. Wendigo, you planning on having any fun with your region?
Well, it turns out, actually, most of my region people are, in fact, supervillains. It's been dubbed the Region of Doom. No, I'm kidding. That's a horrible joke. I should be shot for that.
I liked it.
However, I have a better one for you. This is coming from Coyote. How did Tony Stark spice up his sex life?
I don't know. How did Tony Stark spice up his sex life?
With a little bit of pepper.
Oh, you didn't.
Pepper pots. Pepper pots. Oh. Pepper pots later. Yes, she'll be here all night, silently, kind of not really listening, but mocking me for being here in underwear. But anyways, back to your question, which I've forgotten. I believe it had to do with my region.
Yes.
I'm going to do what I've done pretty much every year and kind of sit on the forums and kind of encourage everybody quietly, but not actually go to anything.
Okay.
Because they tend to do things when I'm either working or sleeping. And that's not counting. I'm not counting actually writing as working. It's actually at the office.
That
horrible thing I do that involves telephones and telling people to turn things off and turn back on again.
Oh, you're still doing that?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah. 10 years and counting of that. It's fun. It keeps me not sane. I know, it keeps me sane. But as far as the region goes, I'm just kind of, you guys keep rocking. Yay, hooray, I'll be over here going through your things.
I was going to say, in the corner, staring at you. Ooh. Under my eyebrows.
Oh, a nice iPhone case.
You're so wrong.
My region doesn't actually do a lot of stuff. Last year, I think they had their very first launch party, and it was online. And they're going to be doing an online launch party this year, too. So I'm not quite sure what that entails. And then they have, I think, a white write-in every weekend. Moving it around the area, because my region is actually kind of a large area, so they move it from town to town so more people have a chance of going to one. Me and Rich did attend a write-in back when we did it in 2008, but I don't think I'd be going to any of the actual physical write-ins if I did do it this year, and I don't quite understand doing an online write-in.
Actually, online write-ins are kind of... Again, it depends on the people. I know it's horrible to keep bringing up Austin when I haven't lived there for over a year, but I really miss Austin for NaNoWriMo. Austin has an IRC chat room that they got through GoodChatting, I want to say .com, but it might be .org, I don't know. And there's someone in the chat room every night, so there are virtual write-ins every night, and they do word wars every night, and it's just a little something where you know, you're writing your novel, and you go over to your chat window, and you say hi to the gang, or you make a joke, or you respond to someone who said something stupid about their cats, or whatever. Or, you know, you pay attention to the word war, and when they say go, you just type furiously for however long the word war is, and it's just another motivational tool.
See, that would totally kill me, because I'd be spending more time watching that than actually writing.
That's true for me when there's not a word war happening at that moment. But once a word war starts, I'm writing. And actually most of the people in the room are too. Someone might come in while the word war is happening, and we'll pause to go, "Hey, Norm!" Get it? Cheers? Okay. But exactly. So tomorrow's our kickoff. We're going to have it... It's actually not too far away from where I live. I'll be able to go there without even getting on a bus. Woohoo!
I believe ours is online starting at midnight on November 1st. But I'm not quite sure where online.
Yeah, some regions do the midnight thing too. And ours is, but I'm not going to go to it because, assuming I still have the job that at the time. I have to work the next day.
Well, yeah, November 1st is a Friday, so.
See, if I was still in Austin, I'd be taking Friday off, and I'd be making my plans to go to Dragon's Lair. Ooh. Did I mention I miss Austin? Okay. So, I know that both of you who are on the phone with me, and actually at least one of the people in the chat room as well, I don't remember if Ginevra's ever done this, but I know that the three of you are all NaNoWriMo veterans. Rock on, rock on. And all of you have hit... I actually don't know about Chris, come to think of it. But I know that the two of you on the phone with me have hit 50,000 at least once. So, next up, advice for the newbies. What tips and tricks do you have that you can point to that made you a successful NaNo veteran? Ladies first, Miss Samantha.
I padded out my chapter titles, so I made my chapter titles really long to pad out my word count.
I did that my first year.
Basically, I just wrote, and I didn't write a story, like, from start to beginning. As I would get ideas, I would write, like, a section of the character that was talking to me at that point in time, and then I just kind of spliced my story together by doing that.
Nice. Oh, Ginevra, you're weak. Ginevra has never done NaNoWriMo. She would like to take a shot at it one year, but it may have to wait for the kiddies to grow up. Actually, what you should do is get them involved. If they're young enough, they can sign up for the Young Writers Program. Actually, if I remember right, you're the one that has Spawn. And if I remember right, the Spawn are young enough to be part of the Young Writers Program. Mr. Wendigo, what advice do you have?
I think I'm contractually obligated to say the following. run as far away as you can.
Run hard,
run wide, run silent, run deep, just run.
It never gets old, seriously.
All seriousness, I would say if you fall behind, only average good count. Do not panic, do not fret. You don't do what I did every time I fall behind. Take it in stride, pick it up the next day. Padding out the chapter titles, I like that idea.
Endorsed.
I think I'm probably going to steal that. Instead of chapter two, it'll be chapter the second, wherein our protagonist finds out something really cool, but you think it leads to something later on, but that doesn't happen until chapter seven. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the, hey, why the hell am I writing this? See, right there, that's like 60 words.
Beautiful. Exactly.
The other tip I can tell you is if you're researching something for your story, don't fall all the way down the wiki hole. give yourself time to research, but don't spend 3 hours wandering through, 70, 75, 80 Wikipedia articles that are tangentially kind of maybe sort of related to your topic or something, some aspect of your story. Because that's killed me once or twice. Lose track of time. And, yeah. So for me, it was Wikipedia, not Wikipedia. I just had to know what everyone's own world was. Studio, by the way. Studio.
See, I also link my writing in with a game I like. All of my novels that I finished so far have actually been based on the Sims neighborhood I'm playing at that point in time. So if I get stuck, I tend to like load up my game and play the Sim who is giving me the issue. And then make a story based around them. Well, the thing is with Sims, if a story gets in my head, if they actually click a story with me, I will pause the game and alt tab out, and I will spend like 2 hours writing straight on what they've given me. So I can get easily over 1,000 words if they start speaking to me.
Yeah, but if they start speaking to you, that's usually a bad thing, because they don't usually speak to you unless they're in dire straits.
If their character begins speaking to me where I'm seeing through their eyes. See, I have a whole story based on my neighborhoods. I know how they're going to react, and I've modded my game so much that aging is really realistic. My babies are babies for 24 sim days. My females are pregnant for 18 days. So it's basically every 2 sim days is 1 month of time passing, so I can really get into their lives. So I get a lot of inspiration from them.
I don't think I could have a toddler for that long.
See, with me having toddlers that long, it actually allows them to be toddlers and play, and I'm not just worried about skilling at that point. I don't micromanage as much when I have more time.
Yeah, I don't micromanage at all, and I still couldn't handle toddlers for... I could barely handle toddlers for the length of time that they already are. I don't like toddlers in the game. Actually, I don't like toddlers in real life either.
Yeah, I love toddlers in real life and in the game.
They're delicious.
But see, I also have a house full of pets, and pets are very much like toddlers a lot.
Also delicious.
I can't stand pets in The Sims. Oh, yeah. So, I concur with Samantha's suggestion to pad chapter titles. I do not concur with the way Wendigo has won in the past with doing the whole locking yourself in a room and writing and giving yourself a carpal tunnel that way.
Yeah, it's not good. I don't recommend it.
I mean, to be specific, whatever works for you, awesome, great, do it. But particularly for a new writer, I don't recommend the locking yourself in a room and because eventually people will think that you're creating monsters up there or down there in the basement or wherever you happen to be.
Yeah. Plus the smell. You can't go in that room again until at least February. It's not good. It's really bad for the grapes.
Well, see, that's why you transport the body out of there. Oh, wait, sorry.
I was just talking about,
that's not about writing, but will help for people who have, a family they have to take care of. Slow cooker. Slow cooker meals for the whole month of November. Throw it in. Don't have to worry about it.
Oh, and my tip for people with families that they have to take care of? November is a good way to teach them self-sufficiency.
Well, okay, you can't really teach a 3.5-year-old self-sufficiency and you still have to feed them.
True, but if you have, say, a 13-year-old, the 13-year-old can take care of the 3.5-year-old for the 20 minutes that you're writing at a time.
See, right now I'm actually making Philly cheesesteaks in my slow cooker. It'll be done by morning, and I'll take it out and let it cool down, and we can reheat it and eat it throughout the week.
Nice.
So...
Or you could have the most epic breakfast ever and have fries of bacon more than 23 states and have, like, yeah, big and billings. Down there, good job.
You see, this we found we actually really like. This is the second time I'm fixing this at Rich's suggestion. So I have it cooking, and then we can reheat it as we need it for the week. And I don't have to cook.
I should make some spaghetti sauce.
See, that's another thing that would last us a week. Because there's only the two of us. We don't have... Because the animals don't eat what we eat. So make one thing and it lasts the whole week.
Some cheap padding techniques that worked well for a first-timer, but I've kind of gotten away from as I've done this. Contractions do not exist. You cannot use contractions. You will not use contractions. You are not a contraction person. Hyphenated words do not exist. 23 is two words. Compound words do not exist. For example, a Philly cheesesteak. Cheese and steak are two separate words. People who have multiple names and they always go by that multiple name. For example, I named my antagonist in my very first novel, Gargle Tuk Tuk of the Clan Tukmakian Salvador Nanites. And the running joke throughout the novel was, Gargle Tuk Tuk of the something or other, I'm too lazy to look it up right now. Or the Gargle Tuk Tuk of the name so long that you should have it memorized by now, and if you don't, it really doesn't matter anyway, because this is more words. One cathartic piece of advice that I would have, especially to a new writer, that. Sorry, Ginevra told me to say that three times fast. But a very cathartic piece of advice is if something in your story is just driving you insane, for example, a character that was in my first Savarda book was extremely whiny, I just kind of stopped the story where I was and wrote about five paragraphs about how whiny this character was and how he was just annoying me and I wished that I could kill him off, but I can't kill him off because he doesn't even have his powers yet. And, of course, if you want to do the whole multicolored thing so that you know what you're not going to keep when you revise your novel, you might want to write this in your chopping it up color. But it's very cathartic because you can whine about what's going wrong in your novel, you can brainstorm ways to fix it in your novel, and it counts. You know you're not going to keep it in the finished product, so it's okay. Anybody else got anything else?
Oh, yes. The TV series Highlander. I know. Where am I going with this? I don't either, but we'll see. If you've ever watched Highlander, you've noticed that even the most trivial things will lead to a flashback.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere, that's anywhere from 6 to 12 minutes, which usually was done to give maybe two, at most three pieces of information, essentially filler. And that, really, that's what NaNoWriMo is. It's, in a lot of ways, it's you're telling a story with, you know, trying to get some filler in there. Go nuts with the flashbacks. Your character sees a beer can on the road. Huh, that was the same beer from that party that was being served at that party he went to in college, where someone got sick and threw up on his favorite jacket, and now he hates cab drivers because of that, and boom, there you go, 1,000 words. You know, you expound on it.
Fantastic.
Could happen.
Additionally.
It's pretty handy.
Additionally, go crazy with the dream sequences.
Oh, yes. Just remember to italicize them, so you know later.
Well, unless somehow they pertain to the story, like it's the dream sequence that finally gives your Sherlock Holmes clone the aha moment where he can let you know that it was the cat that killed the canary instead of the butler.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, kind of along those lines. Have a character who's a writer who offers to show one of your other characters what they've written so far and write something completely different.
I've done that too.
No, I've done that. I've done that. And it was cheesy what they wrote.
And who can we thank for that one? Why, Stephen King himself. With Misery.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
We got like entire chapters of Misery's Return, didn't we?
Uh-huh. With the hand-penciled in E's and T's as his typewriter wrote. Good times.
See, this is great stuff. And some of this stuff hasn't even shown up in our previous conversations about this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think
another thing is to get really verbose about the landscaping. Like, describe how the leaves and trees look exactly, etc.
Yes, and on top of that, describe exactly what they look like, exactly how they're arranged, and exactly how it makes the character feel, which leads to a flashback about vomiting cab drivers. I don't know.
Poor Patty. He was feeling really ill that night. He had the flu. Poor protagonist. Oh, well. He didn't stick around to find out. Maybe he's not the hero we need.
And as I recall, Flick really likes it if you can blame Terry in your story.
Yes! It is Terry's fault. Everything that happens in the story is Terry's fault. The hockey mask guy is the one hacking up everybody, but it's because of something Terry did that made him do that.
Key thing I should point out, the real name of Hulk Hogan is Terry Hulk Hogan. So make Hulk Hogan your big bad, and there you go. Terry's fault.
Dude.
That sounded much better in my head.
No, it works. I'm coming up with a way for Terry to blame Terry. So your big bad is Terry Hogan, but Terry blames Terry because it's Terry's fault, damn it.
Oh,
just make sure Samantha's not a slut.
Unless you're writing Sex in the City. Now I want to bring falafel into this somehow. I don't. Wow. It has been far too long.
Samantha might be a slut. It's Terry's fault that Samantha's a slut because Samantha likes to eat falafel.
I'm cool with falafel.
That works for me. And remember, kids, the answer is always Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay. The question is, which Marvel character won't be in the Avengers?
I'm sorry, say that one again?
Yeah, if the question is, which Marvel character wasn't cool enough to be in the Avengers?
That is totally wrong, too. Spider-Man has been a member of the Avengers several times. And he's been a member of the Fantastic Four. So, fight me, bitch.
Canon. Continuity. Curses, and I was in a comic book shop today.
Yeah, as Ginevra said, he has been an Avenger, just not in the movies, and he's not going to ever be an Avenger in the movies unless somehow Sony gives up the movie rights to Spider-Man, or they run out and Disney chooses not to renew it, because... And on that note, they're not even letting Spider-Man be part of the... Or maybe I should say this in past tense, I haven't gotten that far. I'm watching it on Netflix. But they haven't even let Spider-Man be part of the superhero squad, which is like an actual kid's cartoon, as opposed to, like, the Spectacular Spider-Man, which is just a cartoon. And no, I am not ashamed that I love cartoons. Because Spider-Man. Damn it.
Do you watch him in your Spider-Man underoos too, Flick?
No, but I do watch him in my Spider-Man pajamas.
That works.
Excellent.
And sitting on my couch with a Spider-Man, I guess it's technically a throw. I don't know. And lying on my Spider-Man pillows. Yes, I like Spider-Man.
And I like My Little Pony. Hooray.
No, Ginevra, but I do have a Snuggie, and it's blue. And I wanted a... I would totally buy a Snuggie that was, like, with Spider-Man. A Spider-Man design on it. That would be cool.
My dogs have blue Snuggies, too. Rich wouldn't let me get pink for them because they're boys.
Yeah, I really don't think they would care one way or the other.
No, I don't think they would care either. But they're boys, so they had to have blue, not pink.
Okay, so... gone down my entire list of stuff. Is there anything we haven't talked about yet Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet that you feel should be mentioned about NaNoWriMo?
I thought of another way of padding out word count.
Okay.
Have one of your characters recite a famous monologue.
Ooh, especially if it's in the public domain, because then you could publish it that way.
Yep. And if you only use so much of it, it's still considered fair usage, even if it's not public domain.
That's gray area, and you might have to consult a legal department.
Well, that's where you exposit on that, and the whole shtick with intellectual property laws and copyright and fair use, and, you know, within the scope of your novel, have another character like, hey, you know, you can't say that. Oh, but what if we could in a world where things were still respected and you didn't have to pay out 75 cents to ASCAP every time you sing happy birthday to a friend? I dream of a world like this, and, you know, describe the orchestra playing in the background as they wanted it. But, boom, 500 words.
Yeah. Because we kind of live in a world now where fair use has kind of gone by the wayside. Thank you, ASCAP and RIA and all you other, you know. And Ginevra has a very, very, very great piece of advice. Remember to save your work frequently, especially if you have small children or cats who like to crawl around under your desk. Along those same lines, back up your work also somewhat frequently. Email it to yourself. Some kind of online storage would be great. A zip drive, thumb drive, whatever you want to call those drives, those little USB sticks. In fact, NaNoWriMo has one for sale at their store. I bought one, I think, last year. So that's where my novel is going this year. Although I also use Dropbox. And I email myself on a web-based email. Wendigo just said Dropbox. Rock on. Email to one of your off-site addresses so Google won't steal your ideas. Dude, Wendigo, ideas are not copyrightable.
You know, if they were, Rich would be rich. Well, he is, but, you know. Monetarily, because he came up with the idea of the Apple Store before Apple did about MP3s. Back in 96, he said they needed to have a place where you could hook in online and buy songs singly, MP3s was. Too bad he didn't copyright it.
Huh. Now, the code to do that would be copyrightable, and he'd be able to sue if he actually created something like that, but...
Oh, yeah, but he couldn't do that. But he did come up with the idea of doing it.
Alrighty then. So, NaNoWriMo 2013. I'm in. Wendigo's in. Samantha might be in. Ginevra's weak. Has kids. Chris is strangely silent on the topic of NaNoWriMo. He's here to derail, apparently. Ah, Coyote is in. Yay! Hello, Coyote. We love you.
Rich is not. I know he is not doing it this year.
That's because he's weak.
He just moved to a new position in his company, so he's learning all the new stuff now.
And Chris is weak. He says he might do it next year. Harumph. We'll pick you up from soccer practice.
But dude, what if the Mayan prophecy was right and just a year late? There won't be a next year, man. You gotta do it now. 2013, Planet X. It's gonna hit us. Boom. Done.
Alright. I'm not committing to a follow-up at this time. As you can tell, I floundered horribly. I'm out of practice doing this live podcasting thing. But I'm also not against the idea of doing a follow-up either at the end of November or at the beginning of December. Stay tuned for details, if at all. So what I'm going to do at this point is drop the mute wall upon your heads, because that's what I do. I like to drop things, as evidenced by the glass in the kitchen.
No.
Do we scream now?
Yes.
Ah, no.
That was interesting. All right, so wrapping things up. Thank you very much for joining us for this unscripted episode of a podcast thing. I want to thank Miss Samantha for being here with us, and I would like to thank Mr. Wendigo and his luscious wife, although, you know, Mr. Wendigo was the one that was on the phone with us. Also thanks to Ginevra, Sim Chris, and Logan for popping in playing with us in the text chat. I love NaNoWriMo. I can't help it. It's been part of my life for the last 9 years. And it will continue to be part of my life for as long as they have it. And yeah, I'm done. So don't forget to stop by and check us out on Twitter or Plurk. The accounts still exist. I don't really do a whole lot there anymore. But twitter.com/flickabrack, plurk.com/flickabrack. If you want to see the archive of all of the past Flickabrack and Flickabrack 2.0 shows that are out there on the interwebs. You can find them in iTunes or at tinyurl.com/flickabrack. I am Darren Blake, and I just realized that there was a reason that Flickabrack sucked. It's me! have fun.
Theme music was Bright Wish, composed by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, used under a Creative Commons attribution license.